We're doing something different here. We try to do our own Sunday school curriculum stuff. So we try to all study the same thing at different ages. So the other classes are studying the same thing, just probably not in as much detail as what the adults are. So we're developing a series called The Timeline of Truth. And we started in Genesis 1 and working our way through. So here we're in Genesis 6 right now. You might recognize Genesis 6 as being about Noah. He's first mentioned in the genealogy in chapter 5. I was going to try, I covered verses 1 through 7 last week. And I was going to try and cover the remaining verses 8 through, I think, 21 or something. I don't know. But anyway, I was going to try and cover it. And then I begged the teachers this week, because they get information early in the week. There's too much to cover, I think. So we're just going to cover two verses about Noah, because I said there's a lot about Noah and his character that really needs to be taught as a lesson. And then we're going to talk about the ark probably next week, how big it was and all of that. But Noah actually takes up 4 chapters of Genesis out of 50. So it's actually a huge amount of study. Anyway, we're going to look at just two verses. They're at the top of your notes. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Let's again pray. Lord, help us as we continue to study your word, just to be able to learn from this man who lived so long ago. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read the first 7 verses, because this picks up where that leaves off. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. Then it leads into, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's probably one of the biggest contrasts that you'll find in all of the Bible. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. All right? Okay. In your notes here, there's not a lot to fill in on purpose, because we have a lot to cover. But the first point here is that Noah finds favor with God. Okay? Verse 8 in the New King James says, Noah found grace. I did just a search or study of this. And it's oftentimes found in the conditional sense of me finding favor with you or vice versa. When I say this, a lot of people say, well, you know, God bestowed grace on Noah no matter what, it was his. And I understand that. God chose to save Noah, and he didn't owe anything to Noah. Okay? I'm not saying that Noah didn't or somehow earned his salvation. Absolutely not the case, and we're going to cover that clearly today. But I believe that Noah was selected by God because of what Noah was, on a conditional basis as opposed to an unconditional basis. Now, that may be different than what you've heard, but let me just try and share that a little bit. Is it grace or favor? That's letter A in your notes. Let me just read this. I don't mean to offend your intelligence, but that's kind of part of the lesson. We know clearly that salvation is not of works. You're not saved by what you do. So that's not what I'm suggesting at all. It is by belief alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ. This grace or favor here in this passage seems to be connected to Noah's performance because of his belief and behavior. Okay? And we'll see that, I think, in the passage. This term favor or grace is often used of non-salvation related favor. In other words, it's often conditional. Let me read some of these to you. And Laban said to him, I believe it's to Jacob, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes. It's a conditional idea to Jacob. Please stay, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Genesis 32:5. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight. That's Jacob to Esau. He started sending as he returned to the promised land. He started sending flocks and servants to Esau to find, if you will, to prep his heart to find conditional favor with Esau. Genesis 39:4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Talking about Potiphar. Potiphar liked what he saw and made Joseph the head of his household. Ruth 2, verse 10. So she fell on her face, bowed to the ground, and said, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Ruth to Boaz. Here's the same passage, three verses later, Ruth 2:13. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. So you see that there's kind of a conditional aspect to this, and it's used oftentimes in a human level. Esther 5:8. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, Esther to Ahasuerus, saying, if I have found favor, if you've found me favorable, please do this. Several times it shows up in the book of Esther. Proverbs 3:4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my command, and so find favor in the sight of God and man. There's a conditional. If you do this, then this. You find six conditions, six conditional responses in Proverbs 3. That's one of them. Proverbs 3:22. So they will be life to your soul and favor or grace to your neck. By doing these things, you will bring favor on yourself. In Proverbs 3:34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble, which is a condition. Okay, it's not unconditional. So I'm saying this appears for Noah to be a conditional favor as far as his deliverance of Noah and his family. Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about his physical deliverance from the flood. Noah stood out in the midst of the entire rest of the violent and corrupt world in his God-honoring belief and conduct. God noted him and had favor on him because of that. The Bible says that, okay? We will look at these, I call them favor factors in part two of the lesson. Okay, it's on the backside. What I want to appeal to you today on this is, can we please God today? Okay? And I see a lot of conversation, especially among the reform groups and all, say, well, we can't please God. And I would say that the Bible teaches the opposite. Now listen, we can please God, and notice in your notes here, in the sense that we can do what God desires, here's my caveat here, through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's enabling. Okay? Can we do that? The answer is yes. And here's a bunch of passages that talk about pleasing God. Okay? So if we can't please God, God seems to be wasting his breath. Romans 12:1-2, and I'm going to read it again even though we quoted it and read it this morning. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and, this can be translated, pleasing and perfect will of God. You might want to circle the word acceptable in your notes. The pleasing. You can do what pleases God. Again, not for salvation and not on your own effort, but because God has saved you and because God has indwelt you and enabled you with the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved of men. Here is someone who is accepted of God by his conduct. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, Paul says, to be what? Pleasing to him. Is it possible to be pleasing to God? Help me out here. Yes. And by the way, I should say, and we are to be pleasing to God. Okay? We're not just talking about the concept, but the idea that we are to be that way. That's going to be the end result takeaway of today. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Is it possible to walk worthy of the Lord? That's the intent of Paul's prayer in Colossians 1. Fully what? Pleasing Him. Paul's prayer for the Colossians is that they, in part, would be walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. What you do can please the Lord, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, now are you light in the Lord. That's the salvation. You've been taken from darkness to light. That's the past, now the present, the command. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable or pleasing to the Lord. Okay? Philippians 4:18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable or pleasing sacrifice, well pleasing to God. The acceptable is the word that the rest of these are, but it's well pleasing to the Lord. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but, if you will, supplied pleasing God who tests our hearts. We can please the Lord. We should please the Lord. When we obey God, we please Him. God has enabled us to do that. The back of your notes, there's a few more, and then we got those six subpoints there. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. All right, we can please God. We are to please God. 1 Timothy 2, 1-3. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and, if you will, pleasing, acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. 1 Timothy 5:4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home, if you will, to take care of your parents and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable, pleasing before God. You can list the whole list of things that if you do these are pleasing to the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It requires belief. We're going to talk about that shortly. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is, notice this, a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God rewards even. Hebrews 13:21, make you, this is in the middle of a sentence, obviously, may He make you complete in every good work, to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Okay, and 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Can we please the Lord? Yes. We're expected to please the Lord by keeping His what? 1 John 3:22. Commandments. I thought those were only for the Old Testament. Yeah, that's what I... Start reading the Bible. That'll get you there. Right? Okay. So, and I'm saying that I believe Noah was chosen by God because he was doing what pleased the Lord. Was faith there? Absolutely. I'll say that in just a minute. But he was chosen because of what he did, not only the fact that he believed God. Okay? That's what appears in the text. Now, let's look at the factors of favor, or favor factors. Factors of favor with God. Number one, and I said I would bring this up, is, or letter A, Noah's belief. Belief is another name for faith. I just don't like using it. Faith is the noun form. Have faith is the verb form, which is kind of corny. You don't see that much. You see faith a lot. But belief and believe, to me, are a little more consistent. So here, Northridge are used to saying, it'll say faith, and I say or, and they'll say belief, just to help them understand that faith and belief are the exact same thing. They're two different English words that translate a Greek word. So Noah's belief or faith, okay? Hebrews 11:6 and 7. We read part of this already. But without faith or belief, okay, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe. Or you can say have faith. Okay, I honestly don't know why the translators use one form of the root word for one English word and then the other for the other, because that's confusing. But must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those that diligently seek him. That first part first, they must believe that he is. You have to believe there is a God as a start. That isn't enough for salvation, you understand. But you have to believe that he exists first before you can please God, okay? Notice here, then, the very first Hall of Faith person that's listed in Hebrews 11 is Noah. By belief or faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. God said he was going to flood the earth in Genesis 6. Moved with godly fear. There's the belief in God. He believed who God was, that he existed, and that what God said. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Was that spiritual salvation or physical deliverance? Deliverance. Understand, the Old Testament, when they talk, when you see the term salvation in the Old Testament, they usually translate it deliverance. It's usually talking about physical deliverance. That's what I'm talking about, the saving of his household. The word saved in the New Testament can have several different meanings. One is physical deliverance. One is spiritual salvation, when you think of eternal salvation. And it can also mean sanctification. He is saving us. Okay, the Word of God saves us. It sanctifies us. You find that in James 1. But here, it's the physical deliverance. Okay, what did he do? He built and prepared an ark for the saving of his household. That's talking about physical deliverance. By which, this is interesting, we're not going to get into it today, by which he condemned the world. By preparing an ark, Noah condemned the world. And here's the part I want you to grab onto. Noah was, if you will, saved by faith. Here it is. He became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith or belief. Okay? When we think of saved, it's a biblical term. It's not wrong to use the term. But we have to think of more than a lot of people say, ask Jesus into your heart, which won't get into it, but that you won't find that in the Bible. You're not saved because you pray. You can't be saved because you pray, because your sin is still there. You're saved because of Jesus paying for your sins, right? Not a statement. But what is the transaction of salvation? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? Salvation is getting the righteousness of God by faith in what Jesus has done by becoming sin for us. Okay? It's not because of anything you do. It's what Jesus has done for you. And the Bible says the only way you can be saved is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's not saying a prayer. It's not attending a church. It's not joining a group. It is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here, let me give you four steps. You know, no, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. One step, if you will. And it's a step of belief or faith. And God says the transaction is that he became our sin, we receive his righteousness. And therefore, believe it or not, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees you with his righteousness. And I like that, because that's the only way I get to look righteous. Okay? In fact, my favorite verse of all is Romans 4:5. But to him who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. His faith is logicked for righteousness. Okay? It's mathematically... Okay? So Noah's belief, he received the righteousness of God in him. Another way I illustrate this, and I know I'm running short of time here, but this is the way I illustrate the salvation transaction, okay? And some of you have heard this so many times, you should probably be up here teaching it. But I use a report card. Anybody here get a report card when you're younger or maybe now? Homeschool's like, what's a report card? Okay. Yeah, evaluations and stuff, right? Okay, so you have a report card, and guess what? You either get perfect or an F. It's kind of the pass or fail, A plus or F, okay? That's life. And God says, unless you do everything perfectly, you don't violate in any area, whether it's not doing what you're told or doing what you're told not to do, you can't be saved. You have to be perfectly right, or you get an F. So what do you get? Help me out here. F. Okay. I'm just glad no perfect people here. Whew. Okay. Well, Jesus is the A+. He had perfect righteousness. We have the what? F. Perfect righteousness. The Bible says He takes our F, and the punishment that comes with our F, by the way, is eternally lake of fire, but separation from God. For the wages of sin is death or separation. It's not ceasing to exist, right? It's separation from God. He was separated from God, suffered for our sins, bore the sins. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, the Bible says. 1 John 2:2. And then guess what? If we believe on Him, we have His righteousness put in our account. So God takes Jesus A+ and puts it on my report card. Is it my A+? Well, technically, yes. But did I do anything to get the A+? Absolutely not. But I get the righteousness of God through Him. Okay, that's the salvation transaction. All right? That's what Noah had in your notes. He became heir of the righteousness which is according to belief. The same thing that you find in five chapters later, Genesis 15, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Belief results in the righteousness of God. That's the only way anyone has ever been saved, okay? Number two, Noah's, that's the first favor factor. He was obviously a believer, but there's more to it than that. Noah's works. Noah was a just man. Just could mean righteous in standing, just like we mentioned. We have the righteousness of God, or righteous in actions. Here it appears to be the latter, because the Bible lists the characteristics of Noah as seemingly conditional reasons. You see this stated by God in Genesis 7:1 also. And here's Genesis 7:1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household. What's the next word? Because. That's a conditional statement, okay? Because I have seen that you are righteous. The favor to Noah seems to be based on belief, but conditioned upon his righteous actions. Because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation, okay? Further, Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He had an ongoing responsiveness to God that was evident, as you see in the Word of God here. So, Noah's belief, Noah's works. The next one is Noah's reputation. I didn't really know what else to use. Reputation is works on an ongoing basis, how other people see you. Okay? You could be good once, but be a thief the rest of the time. It's your ongoing reputation, okay? Right? Is that right? Okay. It said he was perfect in his generations. Now, we're not talking about perfect as in sinless. Noah was not sinless. He was descended from Adam, right? Through Adam, all sin, Romans 5 says. But the word perfect is mature. It could even be like the idea of consistent or blameless. Perfect can be mature or blameless. There was nothing he was doing wrong behind the scenes. He's not like the average politician. I was telling somebody the other day, it's like they should automatically, when you go to serving Congress, then you automatically get, as soon as you start Congress, they should schedule you for your prison time. You know, it seems like, you know, obviously that's a little far, but it seems like everybody has a scandal behind them. Noah had no scandal. He was perfect in his generations. Okay? He consistently lived for God in a mature way up to this point. And I'm going to say, probably all the way through, there's something that happens after the flood, but I think there's some explanation there. We're not going to get into it today. Letter D is his walk. And a lot of these are probably could be combined together. Works, reputation, and walk kind of go together. But it says here, Noah walked with God. Noah had an ongoing daily relationship with God, a habit or a lifestyle. Now let me ask you this, and I should be asking all along, are you like Noah? Are you a person not only that has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but walks by your belief in what God says as opposed to what the world says? Are you like Noah in that you are a just man? You are salt and light. By your works, people see you. They will see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. That's Matthew 5. Are you like Noah, that you are perfect in your generations? You're not like the rest of the culture who follow their lust, follow the crowd. Noah was that way. Noah's walk. Do you walk with God? Or is God a Sunday thing to you? Because God is not interested in Sunday relationships. He's interested in someone meditating in His Word day and night. That's not new information. He's interested in you living in His will, not just consorting to it whenever you get into trouble. He wants a lifestyle from you, a relationship. This walking with God is a similar description as used with Enoch. God wasn't a token of Noah's life. God was the center of Noah's life. Are you like Noah? You are either like Noah or you are like the world. This kind of goes to the conforming to the world thing. You're either standing out from the crowd or you are part of the crowd. That is your two options. And if you think that there's some kind of third middle ground option, you don't know the Bible, because God doesn't give you that option. Letter E, Noah's another special number. He's fine. He's fine here. He'd be singing. Number 5, obedience. We can see that Noah promptly and completely obeyed God. You see this in verse 22 of chapter 6, kind of beyond where we're looking at today, but let me read it. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Verse 5 of chapter 7, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And verse 9 of chapter 7, two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Noah did what God said. Do you do what God says, or is your life a list of excuses why, or explanations why you don't do what God says? Letter F. This one you may not think about much, but Noah's preaching. And I don't like to use the word preaching, because most people think of what I'm doing right now. We're talking about proclaiming. Okay, Noah wasn't a preacher per se. He was just someone who shared about God. Look at this, 2 Peter 2:5. In the middle of a sentence, a concept again, but God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people. Noah, this is Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives, right? Notice this, a preacher of righteousness. What kind of righteousness? Yeah, ultimately the righteousness of God, but also the righteousness that works out from knowing God, doing good. Noah was not just one who did right, but someone who declared the truth also. God wants us to be a follower of Him by our works, salt and light, and our words. It's not just what we do, but what we say. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People will not get saved just by what good you do. You have to tell them. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? Okay? It takes the proclaiming of the Word. Noah did that, and by the way, he was very successful. He had no converts. 120 years of building an ark. No converts. Was he a success or a failure? Yeah, he was the success in all the world that was wholly corrupt, the Bible says in Genesis 6. Filled with violence. He had his, actually, if we're counting, seven, right? So Jim is saying he did have converts, his family, right? His immediate family. Let me throw some out, and I agree with you, Jim. It's good. Is it possible that there were believers in God that were not behaviors in God, that were not delivered in the flood? I believe it's wholly possible. Because listen to me. Based upon what you see in the Word of God, God honors you. And again, we're not talking about eternal salvation, right? You with me on this? You're not saved by what you do. Noah was not saved by what he did eternally. But there seems to be conditional deliverance on his part because he was a just man, perfect in his generations, that walked with God. Do you think there might be other people? And this is conjecture. I don't know. That people that believe God but kind of didn't walk with God? It's possible. There was only one that was chosen that apparently walked with God in all of that population, which had to be massive at that time. He was the one weird bird in the bunch. Okay? We looked at last week, Genesis 6. God does not always wait on people. Does he judge people? Does he judge the church? In fact, the Bible says it clearly, judgment begins at the household of God. Has he judged churches in the past? Ideas where? Revelation 2, if you don't do this, I will remove your candlestick. That's conditional behavior kind of stuff, right? God, does God judge nations? Anyone here think that our nation's coming under the judgment of God? I do. And not in some whimsical way. I just look at how God judged Israel in the Old Testament. And we're doing the same stuff, only worse. And God says, if you do this, I will bless you. If you do this, I will curse you. I know those promises are to Israel. But God's character has not changed. We're rejecting what God has revealed as a nation. There's been many nations come and go. And unless God's mercy is upon us, we'll probably be one of those that go. Right? There were a lot of godly people in Israel's time that their kids were hauled off to Babylon. Daniel was one of those, if you recall. All I'm saying is, if you think you can rest on your laurels as a Christian or an American and somehow be impervious to the judgment of God, you are grossly mistaken. Because God will judge us as his children. And if we reject what he teaches us, and we refuse to be salt and light, we allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, we will be judged. Does it have to do with salvation? I think it has everything to do with salvation in the sense that God's not going to let us get away with it. He will either let us be judged, or he will let us face the consequences of our disobedient choices, which is a judgment in and of itself. But either way, I just want to challenge you in a good way that you can walk with God. You can please God. Not by you, but because of the Holy Spirit living within you and the Word of God that is before you, you can honor God and please God and do what He wants you to do. Maybe in a broken and faulty way, but it's the difference between facing toward God and facing away from God. And again, if I can say it any other way, you have two choices. And you don't have a third choice of being kind of in the middle. You either love the world or you hate the world. You either serve God or you serve mammon. You either are light or you are darkness as far as your actions go. And actions have consequences. And the challenge with Noah is his actions appeared to have consequences that God delivered his family. And I don't try to parallel that any today except walk with God, serve God, learn of God, and do what God wants in the midst of a culture, a generation that is becoming more and more corrupt, violent, and antagonistic toward the things of God. You will stick out like Noah as you do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you have judged. Lord, Israel is under judgment even today, being dispersed largely because they rejected your truth. And yet they're your people. Lord, we are warned in Romans that we are not to think that we are in somehow privileged and beyond judgment. You could easily judge us. And you were told in 1 Peter that you will judge, and ultimately judgment will begin in the house of God. But we know that salvation is in belief in the finished work of Jesus alone. But we know that beyond salvation, you expect us to be salt and light. You expect us to be a unique people living for good works on this earth. You have saved us for good works. You have saved us to declare your message. Help us, Lord, in that sense, to walk with God as Noah walked with God, and to proclaim you by our works and our words, so that we may impact our culture for your name's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.